Thank you so much. You know, it's so much of what I learned here, you know, 25 years ago, which is why I'm here today. And today it's especially fun to be looking this way at all the beautiful people that I've met over the years and a lot of new faces as well. So thank you very much for having me today. So the topic for Unity this month is community. And it was thought, well, because I run the Albany Peace Project, that maybe I'd have something to add to this conversation. And so today, what I thought I would do is share with you just some insights that I'm hoping that maybe if what I do, some things I've gleaned to kind of stay the path, stay the mission, that may help you foster communities in your own world as far as what you're called to do, okay? So for some of you who don't know, let me just briefly tell you what the Albany Peace Project is. The Albany Peace Project is an opportunity where we invite people. This week, it's going to be for 1 week in August, August 3rd through 9th. We invite people to practice something called intentional coherence meditation. And what that is we have people bring their awareness to their heart and anchor the mind in the heart. And then we have them tether their minds to what the Institute of Heart Math would refer to as a restorative emotion. So the restorative emotions are appreciation, love, or care. So a restorative emotion is an emotion that restores us, like it restores us back to wholeness, right? So we tether our mind to the wholeness of appreciation, love, or care, and we kind of allow the heart to blossom a little bit. And then once the heart blossoms and swells a little bit, then at that point we send peaceful intentions to a geographic area. And so we do that for 1 week, and our very own Unity Board president, Dr. Karina Reinhold, who's right there, back there. That beautiful woman who is also also a professor of mathematics and statistics at the State University of New York at Albany. So, Dr. Reinhold reviews the crime data and compares it to 5 years earlier to see how much of an intention our prayers have made or our intentions have made. And, you know, when I started this project years ago in this very room with some people in here, I didn't really quite understand what I was embarking on. Anyone can identify with that? Yeah. I didn't quite understand. And I knew it would be a little challenging, but I didn't know it would be as challenging as it was going to be. And I've really hacked this a little bit. I've really looked at some of the challenges, and I should have known better, because the professor I was working with at the time, he said to me, Bethany, for the average person to adopt the concept that their mind can influence the world outside of them, he said for the average person, they'd have to jump through 4 paradigm shifts before they can come to that conclusion. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a little bit of work there today, right? So it was, so I knew it was going to be challenging, but not particularly as challenging as it was. So what I'm hoping to share with you today is some of the things that have helped me stay true to the work, okay? And maybe by sharing some of this, it may all help you all as well, okay? So the first thing I want to share with you is a research study, and I'm only going to share one today, but I know, right? I know, because I know you all think I'm going to go to the graph. But anyways, I'm not. I'm actually going to do a different one. So anyways, because I can only pick one. So, but the research study I'm going to refer to today is something called the Love Study. And this study has been around for a while. It's an oldie but goodie, but it has always stayed with me. And when things looked really challenging and hairy and scary, I would think of this study. I would think of the plant and seed studies. And it would help me keep my mind steadfast. And this is the way the research study goes. They had 31 couples. And what they did was they divided the couples into 2 electromagnetically shielded rooms. So one spouse is over here and the other spouse over here. And what they did was in one room, the spouse was lying in a recliner and there was a camera on that spouse. And then in the other room, the spouse was there and he or she was looking at a screen, okay? Now, both of them were hooked up to biofeedback instrumentation. So that means that they were measuring things from their body. They were measuring change in brain waves, blood flow, galvanic skin response, respiration, heart rate, okay? So they're measuring these biological parameters. And part of the study is that some of the couples, one of the spouse had cancer. So what would happen is that the person in this room who was looking at the screen, he or she would look at the screen, and they were instructed that when they saw their spouse on the screen, they were instructed to send loving intentions to their spouse in the other room. And what they found was really remarkable. They found that loving intentions offer a measurable, palpable energy. And that when this spouse would send the intentions, this spouse's, their body would mimic the same in the intentions. Yeah, this is what's held me. This is what keeps me going on this project, right? So the idea that their, you know, heart rate would mirror each other and their galvanic skin, you know, all of that. And they found that it would match up, like, just about perfectly. And what I also found interesting, so that study, just to let you know, I want you to know that when you are sending love and intentions to someone, it is a very real power and energy. Your mind has impact. And when you really get the fact that mind has impact, you become really careful about what you let your mind land on. And in 25 years of biofeedback, I've seen the impact of the mind on the body. The mind has power. So if we can understand that the mind has power, that helps us stay with us, our calling in difficult times, right? That our thoughts are not idle, as the Course in Miracles would say. So another aspect of that study that I always found so poignant was that the couples who had one spouse that had cancer, those couples, those spouse, the loving intentions would linger a little bit longer. Now think about that. They're doing this research study, so they're instructed that when they see a picture of their spouse, you know, they're to send loving intentions. When the picture goes away, they're going to stop. But that they know their spouse has cancer, right? So the picture goes away, and they just linger. They want to stay. And the reason why they want to stay, I believe, after years of doing the Peace Project and having people have amazing experiences and being transformed through the process, is the reason why they want to stay is because they know at that moment they are in right relationship with that other person, that they are sending love. They're in presence. They're in sacred communion with their spouse. And it's hard for them to step away. And so what I've come to understand, you know, I'll tell people, you know, I know sometimes they'll put me as like a mindfulness educator or a biofeedback specialist or co-researcher in this project, but I will tell you deep down that really, I really feel like the Peace Project or what I do is I'm really a quiet evangelist. I'm a quiet evangelist because I know if people get quiet and they send love, They're gonna do the right thing. They're gonna be inspired. They're gonna be connected to the infinite. They're gonna be connected to the divine, and beauty will happen. And it is this touching the divine where the healing truly happens. And so the verse, the scripture today that I chose was, you know, beloved, it was 1 John 4:7-8, and it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So for us to sit in right relationship and to beam and shower love at someone, we are not only doing that, we are touching God. And in that moment, we are in right relationship. We are in sacred relationship. And we know that. And so when we offer peace, these meditations for peace, people don't want to move because they know they're just positioned just right. Right? And it feels so good, and it's so familiar, and it's so homey, and it's so amazing. This gorgeousness happens. So again, I'm sharing that story to help you remember loving intentions happen. And what are we really doing when we're sending prayers? We're actually coming into communion with the divine, our eternal nature. Because I really live every day knowing that in the end, that my days on this path are numbered. And in the end, when I take my last breath, that really what will happen is I will just let go of my littleness. That's all I'm going to do. Because then I'm just going to be more fully aware of my infinite nature. And all I'm saying is, why are we waiting on that? Right? Like, why are we waiting? When we let go of our littleness, we remember the big, grand journey that we're all on. And that's what I feel like we're doing with the Peace Project, is we're reminding people who they really are. And so I've thought about this, you know, again, the challenges I've had over the years and why, you know, and I'll say, God, why is this? You know, why is it that this is such a, has been such a hard lift? I said, imagine this. I'm teaching people about their inner technology. I'm teaching them how to move their nervous system into a place that makes them, you know, lower their blood pressure or make their bodies incompatible with anxiety or lower depression or make their bodies more, need insulin less. And not only all those health benefits, but also have people become happier, right? Like all those amazing benefits. And not only that, but the way we're intelligently designed is the fact that we can have all those amazing benefits from ourselves or for ourselves and simultaneously lift the whole of the world from our living room, right? Like, thank you. Wow, right? That's the way I feel. Like, wow, like this is super amazing. Like, why is it that people have a hard time? But remember those paradigm shifts. And here's one of the things I've learned. I've learned that what happens is people take maybe their temporal standing, like who they are in this world, maybe their level of financial education or whatever they feel may be disenfranchised in this world, and they take it into their prayer life and they kind of impose it into their prayer life, right? But really, so people are taking their smallness into their prayer life, so then people, when we sit there and do peace meditations, they don't really think it'll work, and they're not really serious. And I'm wanting to invite you to just do the meditation, like just come into communion like that, because your littleness will fall away. And you will sit there in such grandeur, like in your living room with no one around, with your shoulders back and your head up, and you will just feel such amazing dignity. And you'll remember something called, that's referred to sometimes as communitas. Communitas is this understanding of an unstructured group of people who have a shared experience. And in this shared experience, it's recognized that they're all equal. And it's been very clear to me, this is one of the reasons why I continue to work on this work, is because Spirit has shown me that in the etheric, we are all equal. It doesn't matter about your finances, your education, the color of your skin. None of that matters. That coming together in communitas, I just dream of this idea of us all coming together metaphorically, shoulder to shoulder in the etheric to send this disruptive wave of loving peace. And it's real. Remember the study? It's no joke. And I know so many people in this room have made the journey over those four paradigm shifts. So I know you got this, right? So we'd love to have you invite to participate this August. But before I close, there's one other thing I want to share with you. And that is something that was very inspiring to me. And I shook from within when I heard it. I was listening to Nick Tillman, who is a citizen of the Lakota Nation. And he was talking about growing up on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, which, as he said, has third world poverty right here in the U.S. And, you know, just really, really struggle. It's a, you know, struggling circumstances and lots of challenges and all sorts of things going on. And he said, years ago, there were a bunch of young people that came together. He said there were about 20 or 30 young people. And, you know, the unemployment was so low and the life expectancy is so short. And, you know, they were complaining and they were saying about how bad things were on the res and all the things that were going on. And then soon after that, they went into the sweat lodge for ceremony. And in the ceremony, you know, they went into what they used to call an altered state, but a non-ordinary state. And they invited their ancestors in. And as their ancestors came in, they didn't commiserate. The ancestors didn't commiserate with the young people. In fact, what he said the ancestors conveyed to them was this question: why are you allowing other people to determine the future of your children? Are you not warriors? Why are you allowing other people to determine the future of your children? Are you not warriors? And I'm asking you right now, why are we allowing other people to determine the future of our children regarding peace when there's 23 peer-reviewed research studies that have demonstrated this phenomenon, that when relatively few people come together, there's a measurable reduction in violence? And he said, you know, basically the ancestors were telling them, stop complaining and start doing. And so that's what we do in the Peace Project. We're coming together in communitas. We're coming together in the etheric and remembering our larger nature, remembering that who we all really are, and remembering that we're more powerful together than apart. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the political structures and the government and, you know, bureaucracies, they're not doing a good job. Have you noticed? And so what's going to change this world is communitas, us coming together and setting out that single note of peace that's going to move through Albany and inspire and awaken the hearts of Albany. And so we're going to be inviting you. We're going to do it. We need three slots in August 3rd through 9th at 7 a.m., 12, and 7 p.m., 120 people in each slot. We need numbers. We need confirmed commitment. And we're going to be sending out this wave of peace, and then Dr. Reinhold will be reviewing the statistics and comparing it to the last 5 years. And I will tell you that we've been doing this for so many years that, remember I told you that when we touch God, when we love, we touch God, and that is the healing. That is the healing. Well, we basically see this every year that the volunteers somehow often have transformations themselves. One of my volunteers, I remember one year she said something like, Bethany, I participated in the Peace Project for 3 years, and she said, every year I've received a different gift. So coming together in communitas, touching God together and sending out that wave of healing. And we're going to give you a taste of a Peace Project meditation now. We're going to move into meditation after the song. And we'd greatly appreciate your support if you want to sign up at all. I'll be around, but I'll be back up to lead a meditation. So thank you.